For those of you visiting, this is our three T's right up on the front row. Trouble. There's number one, big trouble. Next trouble. And they've converted poor Judy into third trouble. There you go. John chapter 10. So what comes to your mind when you hear the word worship? Think about that for a minute. What does it mean to worship? When we say we are come to worship the Lord, or we read in the Old Testament, it talks about people worshiping idols. What does that term worship mean to you? And contrast that with what it should mean to us. So the title of the message is Worship, Total Surrender. So here in John chapter 10, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word beginning in verse 38. A very familiar passage with a lot of different messages that take place and all it has to say. But we want to look at this in the perspective of worship. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her house, and she had a sister called Mary. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 10. My apologies. We're going to go to chapter 10 here in a minute, but I'm sorry. I guess that outage got me as well. What can I say? Luke chapter 10. I just seen if y'all were paying attention. Luke chapter 10. We'll try that one, see if it reads better for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened. Are we all on the same page now? There we go. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You may be seated. In looking at this worship today, we're going to go to three different times with the same people. It's recorded in Scripture, three different times this same thing happens and occurs. So first, we see that Martha, notice it says in verse 40 that Martha was distracted. My time and your time with the Lord in worship should be our time. No matter what else is going on around us, no matter what has happened before or happened afterwards, our time of worship, wherever that is in your day, that you set aside that time, wherever it is, that you're alone with God in order to worship Him. Now, worship means that we converse with our Lord. And that's a two-way street. Not only do we speak, but we listen. We wait for His reply. We have that time alone that there's no distractions. Cell phones are off. It's not worried about food. Now, what's going to happen? Well, I got to hurry this up because I got to leave here in a few minutes. Whatever it is, there's distractions are gone. Our focus is upon our Lord. Our focus is upon talking and relating with Him, understanding him and what he has to say. That's worship. Notice what he says here. You're distracted with much serving. And she approached him. And Jesus' reply to her was, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. It wasn't just the serving. Lord looked way past serving the meal. We live lives where we're worried and troubled about many things. Some of them are within our own household. Some of them are at a state level. Some of them are at a national level. Some of them are at a worldview. As Herman said, you can listen to the news and you can get troubled and worried in about 5 seconds. And if you listen to it for an hour, you're troubled for the next year, at minimum. But she was distracted. Jesus has told us that we should not worry, that if we come to Him and give Him our cares, our burdens, that we will have peace and joy. Now, Martha is looking to try, is distracted by the things in the time of coming. And notice, though, that Mary, on the other side of this, she says that he, in verse 39 above, that Mary, who also, she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She gives us the first definition of worship. Her focus was on one thing, and that was upon the Lord and hearing what He had to say. So oftentimes, and I'm not preaching at you by any means, I'm guilty of it as well, our worship is, Lord, here's my request. I got this problem. I got this going on. I need, blah, 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 blah. And then we're up and we're gone. That's not worship. Nothing wrong with bringing our request. But worship is that we make our request and we be still to listen to His Spirit answer and guide us. I found how important it is on a daily basis, and I've seen the dramatic difference in my own life of praying, Lord, give me wisdom and patience to wait on Your answer. And no matter what takes place that day, it's amazing how the right answers pop up or the thought comes, you know what, I heard this, let me get back to you. Give it some time. One, to pray about it. Two, to hear the answer. We oftentimes pray for that wisdom where we want to make sure where our answers are correct, that we do the right thing. But that's kind of hard to do if you don't have the right direction, because we do what we think's best. That's not the answer. And so the first we see here is that Mary comes despite, and everybody's hungry, and okay, there'll be time to eat. There's all of these things. You know, we can relate to it. Oftentimes, especially in football season, how quick is that preacher going to be done with? The Cowboys are fixing to start, and I got to be able to eat fried chicken before the Cowboy game comes on. Okay? Y'all snicker, you know that's true. I can remember that as a boy growing up. Looking at my watch and going, the Cowboys start at noon, preacher. You got to get out of here. And Mama and Daddy going to stand around and gab for a while. We got to get out of here. I got to go see the Cowboys. And you can put in there whatever you want. What's important to us? What I didn't realize then is I was worshiping the game, not the Lord. Because the game became the most important thing. My worry was we wouldn't get to see the start of it. Worship means total surrender. It means we surrender everything else around us for what we worship. Look with me, if you will, now in John. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and beginning in verse 17. In the preceding verses, it is the fact that Lazarus, the brother to Mary and to Martha, has become ill, and they send word to Jesus to come and let him know that Lazarus is not doing well, and the term we would use today is that he's on his deathbed. And so we pick up in 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. He done went and died. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Something we do today. We want to comfort those who have lost loved ones in their time of sorrow. Verse 20, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now Martha acknowledges who Jesus is here. And I want you to see a difference, but yet very similar in the response. She says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She comes out to meet him and she's standing there. She said, but I do believe whatever you ask of the Lord, of the Father, he will do it. So keep that in the back of your mind for a moment. Jesus said to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha says, back to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What you see Martha looking at is a worldview. Yes, it's got our belief system in there about resurrection, but she's still looking at a level of the world's eyes, but he's dead now. I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection, but if you had been here when we called you, he'd still be living. She's acknowledging, but at the same time, she's questioning, why did you delay? What took you so long? We sent for you 4 days ago. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Probably some of you are going, well, how do you know that she was kind of being after the Lord a little bit? Because of his response. He says, Martha, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's Martha. Not condemning Martha. We all fall into that same category at one time or another in our lives. But I want you to look at the reverse of Mary. Verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard this, she arose quickly and came to him. I want number one for you to see the immediate thing. Martha tells Mary, Jesus is here and he's asking about you. No hesitation, no what does he want. She gets up and she goes. Immediately. It says very quickly, she ran to him. Now Jesus, in verse 30, had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. He's still right where he was. Then the Jews who were with her, meaning Mary, in the house and comforting her, they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out and followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep. An immediate human world response. not cognizant of the fact that Martha had just talked to the Lord, and that might be where Mary's going. No, they see she's going to go weep at the tomb. Then Mary, verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that's the exact same words that Martha said, right? But what is the contrast? The contrast is Martha met him over here in verse 21. It says that she went out and she met him, and she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary, on the other hand, comes to him quickly as he's asked, and she falls down at his feet. An immediate showing of her humbleness before him. Her worship. Yes, she's hurting just as Martha was, and she too says to the Lord, just as you and I do oftentimes, we look at different things that happen in our life. Lord, why is this taking place? Or someone passes away and we go, Lord, they're so young. Why would you take them? But the posture of Mary is to fall down at his feet. With humbleness, she comes and she questions. I'm going to be to tell you the first, I do believe in the relationship with our Lord. It's not wrong to ask him why. There's things that take place that you and I don't understand. It's not a condemnation. It is the attitude in which we bring those questions. Ours is, should be as what Mary was, to fall before his feet with all humbleness and go, Lord, I don't get it. I know you have a reason and a plan, but I don't get it. Why them or why this? Whatever that question may be. But Mary here the first time was at his feet, listening to what he has to say. Here she comes and desires an answer from him, but she immediately goes to his feet in worship and asks the same question. It continues on that says, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, Jesus wept. Heard a lot of different theologies about why Jesus wept. He can weep because the others all are weeping and Lazarus with his friend. But more importantly, I think, and this is SDN philosophy, but knowing how our Lord is and knowing that Jesus was in the flesh, the same as the Father, he saw how much Mary was hurting. See, folks, God loves you and I so much that when we weep and are in sorrow, he also weeps with us. He understands that sorrow. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one that we care about. By all accounts of what we have, Mary, Martha and Lazarus were all very close to Jesus. They were important to him. And he sees Mary, who has worshipped him twice before, who figures, and as I read in the first in Luke, he said the thing she sees the most will not be taken away from her. We have a God who's about a heart. Her heart was, I'll serve you the food, but I want right now to serve you and to worship you. Here she kneels before him immediately and worships. And yes, she says, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. It goes on into verse 38. And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, By this time there is much stench, for he has been dead 4 days. We immediately go back to the worldview, our lives, where we live every day, in this view in front of us. Well, he's going to stink bad, Lord. That's 4 days ago, and we're out here in the desert. It's hot. He's been cooped up in there. Not that she doesn't believe, because she already says she does, but the focus got off of Jesus and on back to the troubles and the circumstances in the world in which she's living. And again, he brings that to her mind. Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's kind of like taking our problems and, "Lord, I just give this to you." And we get up from our time with prayer with him that we just gave it to him. We reach over and grab that sack full of troubles. And we toddle right on down the road trying to figure out, now how can I fix this? Sounds familiar, huh? Jesus had already told her, he will live again. If you believe, he's going to live again. You're going to see God at work. The Father, you by your own mouth said, whatever you ask, God will do. Jesus had said, if you come and you ask of me, you'll receive. And yet the very thing she believed, here in the next few minutes, it's changed to, Lord, he's going to stink. You see, we take our trials and our troubles, we hand them to the Lord, ask him to take care of it, in the very next breath, well, I prayed about it. I hope God answers. I'm still trying to figure out what I need to do. Now, is that worship? I thought we said we took our trials and troubles to him and he's going to take care of it. But the doubt begins to enter in our mind, and doubt kills the worship and the spirit. Doubt kills the peace. Jesus says that he has given us a spirit of victory, not of fear. So we're fearful. God won't hear our prayer or answer our prayer or maybe answer it the way we want it. God answers all prayers, folks. May not be what we see, but he always looks for what's best and in our interest. So if we truly trust him to answer it, if we surrender ourselves and our will to his will, it shouldn't matter how it's answered, the fact that it's answered. See, that is worship. Then they took away the stone in verse 41 from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Jesus, already thanking the Lord, and Lazarus hadn't come out of that grave yet. It's another lesson for you and I to see as part of worship. We trust him, we commit it to him, it's his. He says, "I thank you, you've already answered. You've heard me. I know your will is going to be perfect." And then they took away the stone. He gives that thanks. And in verse 42, he says, "And I know that you always hear me." If you're born again and you're a believer, I assure you, God is interested in every request you and I make. His word tells us that. It tells us that he is faithful. When we worship him, we surrender our all to him, he hears everything that we ask for. He's telling the Father, "I know that you hear me." He says, "But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe you sent me." Sometimes the bad things in life, Jesus gives us that example. It didn't stop his worship of the Father. He said, "I already know you're going to answer me, that you hear my prayers, but the bad things here in life that have taken place are not for me. It is for those around me, that your glory can be seen by them." And that's exactly what takes place. "Now, when he had said these things in 43, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Finally, in John chapter 12, look with me there. John chapter 12, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas of Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had money box, and he used to take and was put in it. And Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Notice again what Mary does. She goes down before his feet and anoints him with this oil. Now understand, in that day, this oil, and you and I can relate, yeah, things are cost different here, but this particular oil that she had would be equivalent to 1 year's salary for that family. So think about your salary, a whole year's salary. For that, she took and poured it where? At the feet of Jesus and on his feet. And then she wiped that oil in the dirt because of the sandals and the sand that where the area they were. That was a very common practice to wash the feet of those who came into your house. But she took her hair and dried it. Worship. The money was not important to her. Yes, it was a year's salary for the entire family, but notice, I told you at the beginning, worship, meaning total surrender. She surrendered all that she had. Not only was this the first time we've seen this, you remember the widow that gave her two mites? That was all she had, and she gave those, and Jesus said she's given her all. Whereas those who were rich gave out of their abundance. But she gave everything she had. Mary here is in the same for the third time. Worships at Jesus' feet. First, she gave away all the distractions. Second, she gave away even her love for her brother to try to understand that Jesus wasn't there, but she didn't come angrily. She came and knelt before his feet and worshiped him. Here, the third time, she gives everything monetarily that she has in order to wash his feet and to worship him. So now think about mine and your time of worship. When we come to church service, we talk about, Lord, we next few minutes, we want to, may everything that we do be in worship to you. What distractions take place that we allow to enter into our lives? What is our concentration on? What are we thinking about during the time of the service? Not just this service. It can be your quiet time with the Lord at home. Look at your entire day, and in that day, how much time of worship do you spend compared to the time that you spend doing everything else? You see, Paul clicked on this idea of worship. Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. I'm a firm believer that is a communicating with the Lord all the time, but I'm a firm believer that means that in order for us to pray without ceasing, because prayer is a part of worship, that you and I daily in everything should worship Him. The decisions we make, the speech we have with each other, and those we work with and those we come in contact with, very even goes down to the point, the very thoughts that we have each day. You see, if we worship, our thoughts should be about Him. The first thing Jesus told, remember, was that we should seek first the kingdom of God. You can't seek it first if you don't worship the one who owns the kingdom. That means you and I surrender all. We surrender our will, our pride, our everything that we have. See, everything materially that you and I have, we really didn't get it. Oh, wait a minute, preacher, I worked for it. I went out there and built that with my own hands. Who gave you the talent and who gave you those hands? Who allowed you to have the money to do whatever it is? Who gave you that ability to make that money? You see, it's total surrender. I got news for you. If you think your family is yours, you're wrong. God gave them to you. And you'll do them more benefit, and they'll be more blessed, and you will be more blessed when you realize that. And you give that family back to God. And you say, Lord, I want to worship and honor you through my family. That's when we find out what it's like to be a true man, a true husband, a true woman, a true wife. And in turn, we teach that to our children. That's worship. Mary gave us three different examples and three different circumstances. Her service, her grief, her wealth. And at each one of those, she goes to the feet of Jesus. So when you come to worship, what's your mindset? Not just in church. At home. Do you worship Him daily? And if so, what's your mindset during that time? If the phone rings, do you answer it? If the doorbell rings, do you answer it? Are you worried looking at your watch while we're having prayer time and, gee, okay, I got to hurry up because I got to... Where's your focus in that worship? Worship. Lord, we come to worship You. It means we don't have anything else on our mind but Him. For you see, His whole interest and His whole focus is on you and I when we come. He desires. Even as Jesus told in the first instance, He said, what has been given her cannot be taken away. Nobody can take away mine or your time of worship. What's your definition of worship? I invite you to consider the worship Mary has displayed. I invite you to consider it your time being totally focused on Him. And what you begin to find is that carries throughout your day into everything. So we, like Paul said, we're in constant prayer. We're in constant worship. Not a head bowed, but living our daily lives, but living it with the eyes that look up rather than across the board of the world. Worship, a total surrender. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done.